Good morning. Welcome to the Radioactivity time slot. I'm Rob Lurie. We're fundraising here at WMNF. The fund drive began yesterday morning at 9 a.m. We're going to go to next Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. And in the next 2 hours, we have to raise about $5,000 to keep WMNF on track. A lot of people contributed to Talking Animals, and Duncan is back. And Duncan, what's the word?
I just want to thank a few more folks, if I could, including Carol Lyons from St. Pete, taking the WMNF bumper sticker, Merrill Blackman from St. Pete as well, taking a Talking Animals t-shirt to keep up the good work, and Peggy Gardner from Bradenton and taking a Talking Animals t-shirt as well. So thank you one and all for your support of Talking Animals, and keep it going with calls to 813-238-8001 or online at WMNF.org.
All right. Well, Duncan, congratulations. This is WMNF in Tampa. We're trying to raise now $5,000 in the next 2 hours. Blanny Whalen is here. Sean Kinnan is here. And we're going to hear more of today's Democracy Now. And we've got a special interview with a filmmaker that's coming up sometime this hour. We will talk about that film in a little bit. A bunch of people had contributed to Democracy Now between 9 and 10 a.m. We're going to thank those people. Janet Neck. Get Boren from Land O'Lakes. Janet, thanks for that $100 contribution. Nice contribution from you. And Jeff Carroll from Lutz made a $100 contribution. He really enjoys Democracy Now!, Radioactivity, and Tom Hartman on HD3. Jeff, thanks a lot. Thanks for being a discerning listener.
Thanks, Jeff.
And thanks to Anonymous in Dunedin, made a $35 donation. Anonymous says it's so hard to listen to the news these last few years because it's all so stressful. However, I love listening to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Because it keeps me updated without wanting to scream the whole time. Thank you, MNF, for the great years of great programming. And thank you, Anonymous in Dunedin. Another anonymous donor in St. Petersburg says, thank you for having Democracy Now! On the air. Thank you, Anonymous. Well, the number to call is 813-238-8001. We're still raising money for Democracy Now! Because it raised $1,700 in that first hour. We're going to hear more Democracy Now! In just about 2.5 minutes. But we need to make sure that Democracy Now! Raises at least $3,000 today. So that means that we need to raise another about $1,200 or $1,300. You can make your contribution online at WMNF.org. We're going to hear more of today's Democracy Now! In just a moment.
Yeah, Rob. And if you would like to make a donation at WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001, that would be great because we do not want to see Democracy Now! Miss its goal. That would be quite a shame. I'd like to thank Anonymous for a $25 donation from Spring Hill. Thank you for that. Also, Wayman Person III from Tampa has donated $20. Thank you. Mary Walters from Northport is contributing $100 to Democracy Now! And to community radio here. And Mark Vandery from Bradenton says, keep the real news alive, keep the music cracking, and is getting our new short-sleeve t-shirt, 40 years and into the future, and is donating $500 to WMNF.
Wow.
So thank you for that contribution. Wow. We really need to hear from supporters of Democracy Now! Right now, supporters of Radioactivity, Rob Lurie's great talk show. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
And don't forget Sean Kinnan's great Midpoint on Mondays, that where you learn a lot about the environment, local news, and where else are you going to get this? Nowhere else except on WMNF.
Well, let's go back and listen to more of today's Democracy Now! With those calls, we need only 12 more people to support Democracy Now! And we'll be there. You can, if you like listening to Democracy Now!, let us know that you're out there. There has been some controversy about it, especially people saying, well, I don't like Amy Goodman. I don't like what she covers. You know, she's always talking about things that I don't want to hear about. And I think, and I'm sure Blanny and Sean would agree, that Democracy Now! Is one of the best programs that we carry. So please support it, because there are some naysayers out there. The number to call is 813-238-8001. And if you can afford to make a $1,000 contribution, that would be good. Maybe you want to make it if we get 10 more people to match your $1,000 with a $100 donation each. So if you want to issue a challenge of $1,000, that would be a good thing to do. You can call us at 813-238-8001. We just need 12 more donors for Democracy Now! And we'll be there. And Nancy has just brought in a somebody to thank, and Blanny's going to thank this person. Blanny?
Yes, E. Lopez from Tampa has donated $35 and for supporting Radioactivity.
Okay. Well, let's hear more of today's Democracy Now! Amy Goodman did this interview this morning, and it's a really interesting interview about a controversy surrounding a new book about Mexican immigrants, written by a woman who is not a Mexican immigrant. We're going to hear that interview right now. And while we're listening to it, remind yourself that so many great programs. Amy Goodman does so many fascinating interviews and debates and carries speeches on this show. And we think that that's why you're supporting WMNF, and that's why you're supporting Democracy Now!, because Amy Goodman brings you these thoughtful, incisive interviews every day. And it's not like anything that's on any other radio station. So please support the radio station that brings you Democracy Now! Every weekday morning at 9 a.m. The number to call, 813-238-8001.
If you're listening on the phone app, the WMNF app, you can make your donation there as well, or WMNF.org. Of course, you can call and talk to our great phone answerers, 813-238-8001. But we'd like to hear your support for Democracy Now! Right now.
And the great thing about Amy Goodman is that oftentimes she interviews people that are directly involved in the news that they're talking about. She doesn't spend a lot of time interviewing talking heads, the kind of people that you see on cable TV, but she interviews the activists and the people that are actually making history and making news. So support Amy Goodman's show and all of WMNF, 813-238-8001.
Mexican by Stretch and Bobito and the M19s band featuring Mariah Ramos. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
We end today's show looking at the massive backlash and criticism against the novel American Dirt, as a movement led by Latinx writers declare victory, demanding more representation in the publishing industry. The campaign is called Dignidad Literaria, Literary Dignity in English. It formed in response to the controversial novel, American Dirt. The author, Janine Cummings, who was not Mexican, received a seven-figure advance for the book, and it was chosen for Oprah's book club. But its critics say American Dirt exploits and misrepresents Mexico and the experience of Mexican migrants. Critics also say the novel completely erases the voices of Central Americans, who actually make up the largest number of asylum seekers currently fleeing to the U.S.-Mexico border.
Well, on Monday, the leaders of the Literary Dignity Movement celebrated a successful meeting in New York City with the book's publisher, Macmillan, the owner of Flatiron Books. The publisher agreed to expand Latinx representation in its staff and publications. The campaign is also calling for an investigation into discriminatory practices in the publishing industry at large. For more, we're joined by the co-founders of the Literary Dignity Movement from Los Angeles. We're joined by Miriam Gerba, a Chicana writer, podcaster, artist. Her most recent book, titled Mean, a memoir about Gerba's sexual assault, as well as her coming of age as a queer mixed-race Chicana growing up in Southern California. She also wrote the first viral review of American Dirt that ignited criticism of the book. And here in New York, we are continuing with Roberto Lovato, award-winning journalist, author of the forthcoming book, Unforgetting, a memoir of revolution and redemption. Welcome both to Democracy on Medium. Let's begin with you. Tell us how this all began.
This began when I got an email from Ms. Magazine asking me to pen a review for them. I agreed to do so. It was indicated to me that the title that I would be reviewing was American Dirt by a woman named Janine Cummins. I had no idea what American Dirt was. I had never heard of it. Given the title, I thought it was a book about agriculture. And given the blurb on the book jacket referencing Grapes of Wrath, again, I thought it was about agriculture. The book arrived. I took it with me to Mexico. I was on a Thanksgiving break visiting my family there, and I dove into the book and immediately got very, very angry, and the book ruined my Mexican vacation. So I read the book while there. I came back to the United States. I wrote my review. I sent it to Ms. And then Ms. responded that the takedown, while it was quote-unquote spectacular, I wasn't famous enough to write something so negative. The email also said that Ms. Magazine doesn't like to make room in its pages for negative reviews, period, that they would rather steer their readers toward more positive reads. And that annoyed the crap out of me, and so I decided to publish the review myself, and then eventually write an essay about the entire experience, which was published on Tropics of Metta.
You subsequently learned that the publishing industry was all abuzz about this was going to be a breakthrough book, about the huge contract. How did that affect even more your response to this novel?
It grossed me out. It grossed me out that this novel was being constructed as a blockbuster. Its bestseller status was preordained. It was an anointed work. And as an anointed work, I got to observe all this machinery come into place in order to elevate the book and prop it up. And for me, the book has really revealed how big publishing and the Big Five work.
And what were the main concerns, if you could summarize, the objections that you found, the problems you found with the book?
Okay, first and foremost, it's a poorly written book. The prose is shaky. When I say that the book is Frankenstein-esque, I don't only mean that Cummins reached for tropes and sensibilities that she had no command of and then blended them and mixed them all together. The book is Frankensteinish just at a structural level and at its level of like lexicon and syntax. It's sloppy. And then to add to that, the folks represented by the book, the brown folks in the book, are paper dolls. They're paper dolls that are there in order to advance a plot and in order to advance an allegory. And that allegory is United States of America, good. Mexico, bad. And Mexico isn't even Mexico. Mexico is anything south of the U.S. border, as far as this book is concerned. Everybody brown sort of flattens into one faceless mass.
Let's turn to the renowned Mexican writer Sandra Cisneros. Being interviewed by Maria Hinojosa on NPR's Latino USA last week, Cisneros has been widely criticized for endorsing American dirt. Here she addresses why she supports the number one New York Times bestseller.
Did you know Jeanine Cummins before you got American Dirt?
No, nothing. I did not know her at all. I just know the stories. You know, reading this book, I said, okay, it had great resonance for me. And I knew the amount of work that it took to weave this from testimonio and to make it into a novel that moves from the first page. You know, a novel is different from a piece of journalism, a piece of nonfiction. It's different from a script. You know, it has its own engine, and it's got a roar from page one, and it did that for me.
So that's Sandra Cisneros. But there was a major protest outside the offices of Flatiron Books, which is owned by Macmillan, on Monday. You all, Miriam and Roberto, had a meeting. Can you describe this meeting on Monday? And one of the claims was that the publisher canceled the book tour for Cummins because she was receiving death threats. What did you find out in the meeting?
Well, we found out that the Latino community in the United States is capable of exerting its voice and its power to enter the national dialogue that we've been excluded from through most of the history of the United States. This was a historic victory with material and political and cultural effects. And there's no precedent when you have 13 people in a room, the top executive, not just of Flatiron, but Macmillan, one of the most powerful publishing entities in the world, coming to meet with the leader of this movement that is this 5-foot school teacher, a little taller with her heels, but who sparked all of our imaginations to act on this. And so I was moved by that, and I decided, along with our other colleague, David Bowles, who requires mention here, to launch Dignidad Literaria to elevate the dignity. I think what you're seeing is nothing less than the decline and fall of the what I call the folklorico industrial complex of U.S. Latino literature. I think the cartoonish images of Latinos in the United States are starting to be dead. And I think the guarantors of that, you can find them on hashtag Dignidad Literaria. And so during the meeting, which had moments of tension and moments of agreement, we actually, you know, wrote out a collective, an agreement, basically. And let me, if I may read it. That would substantially increasing Latinx representation across Macmillan, including authors, titles, staff, and its overall ecosystem. Now, this has never happened in the annals of U.S. Latino literature.
This is what you've agreed to.
This is what's been agreed to, in addition to developing an action plan to address these objectives within 90 days and to regroup within 30 days with Dignidad Literaria and other Latinx groups to assess progress. And so we were in the room with some very serious executives who very much noticed the explosion of the Latino community and in brilliant critique like Miriam's and David's and others, and also in action, because a lot of us never learned to make the artificial distinction between, say, poetry and politics. A lot of us are poet warriors, let's say, and so we went in and we came out with a success that's measurable and that will be held accountable by the Latino community, who are the ultimate guarantors of this.
And Miriam, your response, yes, to the meeting, and your we have about a minute. Your response to how Macmillan is dealing with the crisis.
I mean, I went in there to tell them, like, look, you guys said you wanted to build a bridge and you failed. You guys built a wall instead. So we are here as Latinos to offer our assistance in this silly Reagan-esque turn, tearing down that wall. You guys built it. Latinos know how to work. Let us tear down that wall and let's help you build that bridge that you initially said that you wanted to construct to begin with, and you got it all wrong. We know a thing or two about intellectual infrastructure as well as manual labor. And then the other thing that was really startling during that meeting was that folks in that room admitted that Cummins had received no death threats. And I was able to express to executives that I indeed was the critic who had been receiving numerous death threats throughout this entire process.
Do you feel, how are you going to follow up on this meeting?
We have several check-in dates in place, so there's supposed to be a 30-day progress report. And when that 30-day progress report is issued, we're going to release it publicly. And then there's also a 90-day check-in point as well.
Well, we want to thank you both for being with us. We'll continue to follow the story. Miriam Gerba and Roberto Lavata, co-founders of Dignidad Literaria, the literary dignity movement. And that does it.
And that does it for this portion of Democracy Now! We're going to hear another Democracy Now! Interview in just a moment. And we're fundraising here at WMNF, trying to raise $250,000 over 7 days. And this morning and early this afternoon, we have a goal. We've got to raise $5,400 more to stay on track. If you're a big fan of Democracy Now! And a big fan of the public affairs programs, we just want you to know that WMNF has no commercials. We are independent because we have no commercials. And your donation makes us stronger. By making a contribution right now of $35 or $50 or $75 or $80 or $100 or $500 or $1,000, you are allowing us to be independent. Without your donation, we couldn't be independent. That's why it's so crucial that you call right now at 813-238-8001. Make a contribution. It's tax deductible. And we promise we'll continue our longtime mission of bringing you the best music and the best news in public affairs. But please help us stay on the air and independent. 813-238-8001.
Rob, I'd like to thank John Hubble from Holiday for making a donation right now during Radioactivity and Democracy Now! He loves all of the public affairs programming. And for his $120 contribution, he's getting our long sleeve t-shirt, the new one. It says 40 years and into the future. And if you'd like, you can see the design on our website, WMNF.org. You can make your donation there as well. You can pick out your thank you gift. You can also call one of our phone answerers, our volunteers. And that reminds me, we do need trained phone answerers. If you've been a phone volunteer here before and you have some time this afternoon, we are really could use your help right now. We're down to a very few number of people, and hopefully we'll be needing a lot of them, because we'll hear a lot of support by people calling 813-238-8001 and making donations to Radioactivity and to Democracy Now! Please call now.
And keep up with our progress. Remember, we're trying to raise $5,400 between now and 1 o'clock. And keep tuned in to WMNF or check in with us every few minutes to see how we're doing as we try to keep this independent radio station on the air. A lot of people thought that we would never make it. A lot of people were betting in the beginning that this station would never succeed here in Tampa. As we look up at the lights above us that indicate that there are incoming phones, you don't hear any sort of phone ringing here at WMNF, but we're looking at the lights above our head that indicate phone lines are coming in or people are calling in, and nobody's calling in right now. So let's hope we get one phone call right now and keep WMNF on the air and independent. Thanks to Anonymous in Tampa, just made a $50 contribution, likes Democracy Now! And Radioactivity and Marcy's show. And they're going to get the Cabot Cheese coupons. Thanks a lot for that nice $50 contribution. And we've got a really special interview coming up right now. It's about the film, Where's My Roy Cohn? This is a film that traces the history of Roy Cohn, who was an aide to Senator Joseph McCarthy during the communist witch hunts in the 1950s. And then he turned to represent the mob in the 1970s and 80s. And then he became an aide to Donald Trump, an advisor to Donald Trump, a mentor to Donald Trump. And we're going to hear how Donald Trump kind of absorbed Roy Cohn's philosophy in about politics and about dealing with controversy. So you can have the film, too, that we'll be talking about in the next half hour. You can have the film for a $120 contribution. As when you donate $120, most of that money will go to MNF. But some of that will go to pay for this film, and the film is on DVD. You can get the film, Where's My Roy Cohn, for a $120 contribution. And again, the phone number, 813-238-8001. Another person to thank, thank you for an anonymous donation in Largo. Thank you very much for that nice contribution. Donna in Largo just made a nice contribution for us. So, Donna, thank you very much. And that needs, Sean and Blandy, that means that we need to hear from 57 more people between now and 1 o'clock.
We need to hear from you right now, especially if you'd like to take home this DVD that we're going to be talking about, Where's My Roy Cohn? That's a $120 donation. We'll send you the DVD if you call 813-238-8001 or donate on the web at WMNF.org. We do need support for Radioactivity and for Democracy Now! We still haven't made the goal yet for Democracy Now! Today. 813-238-8001.
And normally Radioactivity would be on about now, and I'd be doing an interview with somebody, either somebody involved in local issues or somebody involved in some sort of national issue, and then we'd be opening up the phone lines. We might even be talking about the impeachment trial. But if you're a fan of Radioactivity, you like the interviews, please call us up. There have been some interesting stories broken here. We talked about the fish farm that's proposed for the shores off Sarasota last Friday. We talked about the possibility of building a new nuclear power plant in Lakeland a few weeks ago. I don't think anybody on the radio talked about that. Except for WMNF. So please, if you enjoy listening to Radioactivity and you think that it is a public service, call us at 813-238-8001.
And if you listen to Radioactivity regularly, you learn something new every time, and you don't like listening to Charmin commercials, pharmaceutical commercials, car commercials, fast food commercials, all these different things, you're not getting that here. You are getting great news in public affairs. You will learn something each time. And if you haven't donated in a while and you really enjoy this show, then please donate today. Today may be your day.
Well, here's a film that we're giving away for a $120 contribution. It's Where's My Roy Cohn? We're going to hear the trailer to the film first that kind of sets up what the film is all about. Then we're going to hear Amy Goodman's interview with the filmmaker. And you can get this film for a $120 donation. We only have a few of these to give away. If you call right now, you'll get it. 813-238-8001. Here's the trailer to the film, Where's My Roy Cohn?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Last question today. What makes Roy Cohn tick?
Dora Cohn wanted a different son from the son that God gave her. And that imbued him a sense of shame about who he was. His father gave him the language through law and politics to express his shame.
Roy Cohn's contempt for people, his contempt for the law, was so evident on his face that you knew you were in the presence of evil.
He was like a caged animal. If you opened the door, he would come out and get you.
He's this bridge between the legitimate and the illegitimate world.
When John Gotti walked into a bar and shot a guy in the head, Roy managed to get Gotti off.
We have Cohn investigating homosexuals very aggressively.
But he was the one who threw the grid parties.
And there were rumors he was picking up male prostitutes.
He could pull strings and bring people together. He could pull strings and make people do things.
I was in his office when Nancy Reagan called and thanked him for getting her husband elected.
Cohn looked at Donald Trump as a protege.
Donald had the money, and Roy had the balls and the shrewdness.
Attack. Don't settle. Don't apologize. Attack.
When you look at Cohn's life, you're shining a light on demagoguery, hypocrisy, and the darkest parts of the American psyche.
According to Roy, Roy was responsible for everything important that happened in the United States.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Friday, federal agents raided the home of President Trump's ally and former advisor, Roger Stone. Prosecutors from special counsel Robert Mueller's team charged the longtime Republican operative with obstruction, witness tampering, and lying to Congress about his communications with WikiLeaks. An indictment unsealed Friday reveals a senior Trump campaign official was directed to contact Stone ahead of the 2016 election to see what other leaks about Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee were coming from WikiLeaks. Roger Stone was released later Friday on a $250,000 bond and spoke to the press.
I will plead not guilty to these charges. I believe this is a politically motivated investigation. I am troubled by the political motivations of the prosecutors.
Roger Stone will be arraigned on Tuesday. Stone and Donald Trump share a unique history. Both were heavily influenced by the infamous attorney Roy Cohn, who served as a chief counsel to Senator Joseph McCarthy during the Red Scare in the 1950s and would later become a leading mob attorney. Roy Cohn represented Donald Trump for years and once claimed Trump considered him to be his best friend. Roy Cohn is the subject of a new documentary here at the Sundance Film Festival titled Where's My Roy Cohn? I spoke to the film's director, Matt Turnauer, on Sunday. I began by asking him to explain who Roger Stone is and his connection to Roy Cohn.
He was a protege of Roy Cohn. He has something in common with Donald Trump other than being a friend and off and on political advisor to Donald Trump. He and Trump are both the proteges of Roy Cohn. Their origins in politics and really in all of the way they deal with life and business come from the same place, and that's the late Roy M. Cohn.
So before we go to the late Roy M. Cohn, talk about your feelings on Friday, on that day that that began with a raid of Roger Stone's house, and just who Roger Stone is.
Roger Stone is a political dirty trickster whose methods and persona really dovetail with and presage the Trump administration. They're cut from the same cloth, and again, they have the same mentor. I can't overstate the importance of that. And this comes from the dirty pool, kind of illegitimate political world that Roy Cohn personified, Richard Nixon toiled in, and Donald Trump is a kind of delayed reemergence of this dirty pool transactional type of politics that now really is verging onto a type of fascism that I think has been incipient in our republic for a long time, but has emerged. And the point of the film is that the seeds for this were planted long ago, and Roy Cohn was a major sower of those seeds.
Hmm. Let's go to a clip of Roger Stone from your film, talking in the same way you're talking, interestingly, about Roy Cohen, Donald Trump, and, well, Roger Stone himself.
Roy would always be for an offensive strategy. Those are the rules of war. You don't fight on the other guy's ground. You define what the debate is going to be about. I think Donald learned that from Roy. I learned that from Roy.
That's Roger Stone talking about Roy M. Cohen. So, Matt Turnauer, take us there. Take us to who Roy M. Cohen is, and how you became so fascinated with him.
Roy Cohen would have been, I think, a very bold footnote in American history if it hadn't been for the surprising result of the election of 2016. He was, at a very young age, the handmaiden of Joseph McCarthy in the early 50s, on through the mid-50s. He was most famous for those photographs of him whispering into the ear of McCarthy during the infamous Senate subcommittee witch hunting hearings, where McCarthy, demagogue of his era, was trying to root out mostly imaginary communists in the State Department and other branches of the government. Cohen was a son of great privilege who'd become an attorney. In fact, he graduated from law school so young he couldn't take the bar exam for another year. He was a prodigy, and he was a very brilliant man. It turned out, through the course of his life, he used his brilliance for mostly the dark arts of manipulation and self-enrichment, and certainly later in his career, even literally mafia activities. He was became the number one mob lawyer in this country, but he was also the great, I call him the CEO of the Favor Bank. He was the great political fixer of his time.
So, well, the mob is where Donald Trump comes in his early years of being a developer in Manhattan. Sure. But go back even further to the Rosenbergs. Before the McCarthy hearings.
Sure. Roy Cohn cut his teeth in public life as the junior prosecutor in the Rosenberg spy case, which was an infamous trial of two Jewish Americans, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, who were accused of and convicted of sharing atomic secrets with the Soviet Union.
Or conspiring to.
Yes. And Cohn was among a group of Jewish lawyers and judges who were appointed to give the impression that it was not an anti-Semitic prosecution. He proved himself to be incredibly aggressive and very, very savvy at gaining publicity for himself and for the cause that he was pushing. And he is perhaps most famous in this for engaging in a very questionable collusion with the judge, who was Judge Kaufman. And Judge Kaufman, legend has it, would call Roy Cohen, the prosecutor in the case, outside of his synagogue, Park Avenue Synagogue in New York, to ask Roy Cohen, the junior prosecutor, for guidance on what kind of sentencing he should hand down. Roy Cohen...
And just to be clear, ex parte communications between a judge and a prosecutor are illegal.
You said it. And Cohen was encouraging him, by Cohen's own admission, to give the death penalty not only to Julius, who it turned out was indeed guilty, and Ethel, who was no one's ever proven guilt for. The couple were sentenced to death and executed in the electric chair. It was a truly traumatic moment for certainly the Jewish community of the United States, but also really the United States at large. And the film unearths footage, contemporary footage, that was actually very shocking to me. I didn't realize how violent and emotional the protests were in the streets of New York City on the day of the execution.
And this was what, June 21st, 1953?
That's right. And Cohen at the time was, I believe, 23.
And of course, the message that was sent all over the country with the execution of this couple at Sing Sing, putting them in the electric chair. Interestingly, you have a clip of Roger Stone that we want to turn to right now, remembering what Roy Cohen said to him about their execution.
When you would try to get him to talk about Joe McCarthy or the Army McCarthy trials or that whole period, J. Edgar Hoover, you couldn't get much out of him. On the Rosenbergs,
I asked him how he felt about it. I told him I'd run the case, and he said, and I quote, if I could have pulled the switch, I'd have done it myself.
That's Roger Stone in the new film, Where's My Roy Cohn? And we're hearing about this film with director Matt Tarnauer. He's being interviewed by Amy Goodman. And this film can be yours for a donation of $120 if you call us right now. We've reached kind of a low point here during the fund drive because nobody's called in the last 10 minutes. And so we're a little bit worried that the fund drive may turn on this moment where we're not raising the kind of money that we hope to raise. So let's hope we can get one phone call from you at 813-238-8001. And let's see if we can get one phone call right now. Remember, you can get this film on DVD for a $120 contribution. Sean Cannan is here. Blanny Whalen is here. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for tuning in. This would normally be the radioactivity slot, but we're hoping people that enjoy listening to thoughtful public affairs that remembers history, too, that history is not a foreign concept to the people that listen to this program who are the guests on this program. So if you appreciate the fact that WMNF remembers this history and reminds people of how we got here, we're going to hear more of this interview with the director of the film, Where's My Roy Cohn? We're going to hear more of this interview in just a moment, and we're going to get to the Donald Trump phase of this film in just a little bit. But we'd like to get one phone call right now at 813-238-8001, or we could be in big trouble. This whole drive could be in big trouble. We've got to raise about $5,300 in the next hour and 15 minutes. And we want to start that process right now by getting your phone call at 813-238-8001. You can also make your contribution online on our website, WMNF.org. And Sean, it'd be great if we got just one caller right now.
Yeah, Radioactivity is such a popular program. Every morning from 11 to noon, Rob hosts interviews and he has guests from the community come in. And then people call in, people just like you call in and make their case to 5 million people potentially in the Tampa Bay area about what your thoughts are about what's going on in our community. And this is a great asset and we do need to support it. The only way that we can keep it on the air is through financial support from listeners like you. That means people who can commit to $5 a month or $10 a month or a basic membership of $35 a year, or maybe you can donate $500 or $1,000. We'd really like to hear from you if you support great programming like Radioactivity or like Democracy Now!, if you think that it's important to talk about documentaries like Where's My Roy Cohn? This sounds like a really fascinating documentary. I have not seen it yet, but you can get a copy for a $120 contribution. We'll send you the DVD of this and you'll be supporting community radio, supporting the great work that's done here at the station that goes out to all of your neighbors. We do need to hear from you. Here's the number, 813-238-8001. You can also make a donation on the smartphone app or on WMNF.org.
I'd like to sweeten the deal a little bit. I just came back from a trip to Wewahitchka, home of liquid gold, Tupelo honey, and I have one-pound bottle of Tupelo honey that I am personally donating to the station for a contribution of $120. Now, this isn't just anything that's called Tupelo. This is at least 95% Tupelo honey, and it comes from beekeepers who have been doing it for well over 100 years. They're starting their fifth generation of beekeepers. And if you've never had Tupelo honey, it really is. It's golden. It's beautiful. It's very strong taste. And if you don't know about Tupelo, it also does not crystallize. You're not going to get this anywhere else, and there's only one bottle to give, and you do have to pick it up at the station. But for a contribution of $120, it's a really sweet deal for Radioactivity.
All right. Well, thank you for donating that, Blanny. That's great. So the number to call is 813-238-8001. Remember, no commercial radio station would dare do what WMNF does, and that is bring you thoughtful in-depth interviews about whether it's contemporary politics or history, because commercial radio doesn't really, I think, respect your intelligence. And here at WMNF, we know that everybody has the capacity to learn. Everybody has a deep interest in American history and world history. And that's why we try to fill that gap, because certainly no other commercial radio station is going to do this. And even, I think, the mainstream NPR stations these days don't take a lot of chances. They are really worried about their owners and their funders, and I understand that. But here at WMNF, our owners are our listeners. They're the people that make that $25, $50, $100, $1,000 contribution to WMNF. And we're only beholden to you. We're not beholden to a big institution. So please be the first one to call this break at 813-238-8001. I don't want to sound the alarm bells too much, but we could be in big trouble unless we get at least one phone call this break. And one good person saying, you know, thank you for respecting my intelligence. Thank you for bringing some historic perspective. Thank you for bringing on authors, and thank you for bringing on political activists, and thank you for bringing on environmentalists, and thank you for bringing on people that just aren't, those kind of Fox News hosts who are talking off the top of their heads, but these are people that are serious scholars, serious investigators of what's going on in the world, serious investigative journalists. That's what we provide every day here on WMNF. Amy Goodman certainly provides that. And you can get this film, Where's My Roy Cohn, for a $100 contribution. But Sean, we got to get one line lit. It's so important right now that we get that person from Plant City or Tampa or Temple Terrace, or we get that person from Tarpon Springs or Sarasota or Bradenton or Clearwater. If you live in Hardy County, if you're in Sebring, if you're in Brooksville, if you're in Dade City, if you're in Sarasota or St. Petersburg or Clearwater or Seminole, we need to hear from you. We need to hear one good person from our listening area to call us up, 813-238-8001.
This is a two-way communication. We you're used to hearing us on the radio talking to you, but we also want the feedback, and that feedback can come in the form of a contribution. If you donate to a show like Radioactivity, say, here's my $100, keep it up. This is the kind of programming that we want to hear. And you can write in your feedback on the website when you're typing in your comment, or you can tell the phone answer which shows you like. We really do want to hear from you. We want to know what's important to your to hear on your community radio station. You can call 813-238-8001 and talk to our great phone volunteers. And they're being fed by Crystal Bay Cafe. We want to thank them. They're located at 800 Twig Street in Hillsborough County Courthouse in downtown Tampa. They sent Cuban sandwiches, wings, and chips and cake for our lunch today. So thanks to WMNF event pass holders and owner Debbie and the crew. So thank you to Crystal Bay Cafe, but we do need to hear from you. 813-238-8001.
We're going to hear more of this interview that Amy Goodman did with the documentary film director Matt Tarnauer. And Matt is describing his film, Where's My Roy Cohn, that links Joseph McCarthy, the notorious senator who led a false campaign against accused communists in the 1950s, right up until today, and Donald Trump, and Roy Cohn being the attorney that links both McCarthy and Trump. So let's, Blanny, if we could get just one phone call, somebody, or maybe somebody donating online right now at WMNF.org, get this film for $120 contribution. Amy's going to have more about it, but please, this is the radio station that dares to bring you thoughtful, well-considered interviews with intelligent people over and over again, and we do it on a shoestring budget. We do it on a tiny budget compared to the other big NPR stations around. So please make that contribution now, 813-238-8001. Blandy, let's go back and hear more of this interview that Amy Goodman did with the director of the film, Where's My Roy Cohn?
Sounds great.
Let's
go.
It doesn't sound like remorse. I think Roy was a hardliner to the end.
That's Roger Stone from the documentary, Where's My Roy Cohn, talking about Roy M. Cohn and the execution of the Rosenbergs. Matt Tarnauer.
It seemed to me that someone in the early 20s who had killed a mother of two, who was almost certainly not guilty of the crime for which she was convicted and murdered by the state, might have some feelings of remorse for this later in life, as he was on his own deathbed, for instance. I asked Stone that, and Stone gave the answer that you just saw in the film clip.
So let's move forward down to the McCarthy hearings in Washington. Roy M. Cohen becomes his right-hand man, famously, and you show this so beautifully in the film, constantly in the ear of McCarthy. You've got two sets of hearings. Mm-hmm. You've got the original McCarthy hearings going after communists. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Army McCarthy hearings. Mm-hmm. And you describe this as an early reality TV, very Trumpian. Explain what took place.
Army McCarthy is a byword in our culture. The McCarthy era, of course, is the dictionary definition of witch hunting and demagoguery and the big lie in politics. The Army McCarthy hearings details and the nuances I really feel have been lost to history and lost in the very porous education system we have in this country that just doesn't teach history thoroughly. So I wanted to show a granular portrayal of this peculiar episode that occurred that really riveted the nation at the dawn of the age of television. What happens in the complex Army McCarthy scenario is that Cohen is McCarthy's protege. Cohen, as a string puller and favor doer, wants to do a particular favor for someone, a certain someone special to him, and that is a young man named G. David Shine, who is the scion of a wealthy hotel family and was just Roy Cohen's type, sexually speaking, it turns out. Cohen, we haven't mentioned yet, was gay and very deeply in the closet in this period. He clearly has a romantic crush on David Shine and gets him on Joseph McCarthy's committee as a junior aide. At a certain point in the Korean War period, David Shine is drafted into the Army as a private. This incenses not only David Shine, but Roy Cohen. So Cohen, who was powerful at the time, but not as powerful as he thought he was, did what every wealthy, spoiled child might do, except this one happened to be occupying a Senate post. He called the Secretary of the Army, and he threatened the Secretary of the Army, and he said, either David Shine is given a commission as a general, not a private, and posted in the penthouse of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York, the city that Roy Cohen happened to be his hometown, or we, Roy Cohen and Joseph McCarthy, will go after the Army and accuse them of being run by a secret gay communist cabal. The Army didn't react well to this bizarre threat coming from a relative political nobody, the one with great connections and a connection to the leading demagogue of the day, Joseph McCarthy. So the Army pushed back. We have to remember also that the president at the time was an Army man. Dwight Eisenhower was a general, and he didn't say much at the time, but behind the scenes didn't like these accusations being leveled against his branch of the military. So what unfolds then is, I believe, the first instance of reality television, unwitting reality television. I think TV in its infancy was trying to find its footing, and whatever was good spectacle and whatever would get people to tune in flew at the time. This was a open televised hearing with a sensationalistic charge and a secret homosexual subplot. It made the stuff of perfect television drama, really. Although no one really knew what was going to happen, it was an open-ended narrative, which really is the definition of reality TV.
So talk about the climax of these hearings with the counsel for the Secretary of the Army.
What ended up happening was the Army lawyered up and went after McCarthy and Cohen, and they hired a very good lawyer, a very folksy, telegenic, avuncular man who was a Boston Brahmin attorney named Joseph Welch. Welch played his cards beautifully on TV and in the hearing room here, and he paced himself. He sort of let his fellow questioners pick apart this bizarre scenario. McCarthy and Cohn are demagoguing and trying to show that there are communists and gays in the army and that they're bad for the United States and bringing down the republic and the democracy, basically. The army was able to poke holes in that. Eventually, near the end, McCarthy sees he's losing this battle and he wants to fight back. There had been a backroom deal made at a certain point that one of the people that they were going to drag through the mud was an associate of Welch's in his Boston law firm, who may or may not have been a member of a group that may or may not have had some communist leanings. It wasn't even a communist front. It was really nothing, as most of the charges McCarthy leveled were. And Cohn had told Welch, "I'll trade you not implicating this guy for something else." And McCarthy missed that meeting. And he started to bring this young man's name into the hearings on television.
Well, I really want to hear what happens next, but we're coming up against the clock. We want to thank some people. If you're just tuning in, WMNF is fundraising here, and I'm Rob Lori. Blanny Whalen is here, and Sean Canan is in the background, and we're trying to raise money here at WMNF. It's the second day of the winter fund drive, and thanks to Bradley Messick from St. Petersburg. He enjoys public affairs programming. He says, "Go Bernie." That's Bradley's message. Bradley, thank you for your nice contribution. Also, Mike Wheeler made a nice contribution. Mike, thank you very much from St. Petersburg. Says that MNF does a great job. Thank you. And Dennis Plews from Sarasota made a $35 contribution. Dennis, thank you very much in helping to keep this program on the air. Whether it's a $35 contribution or a $1,000 contribution, they're all valuable. And we're hoping to get at least one $1,000 contribution right now. We're going to get an update about the drive. I think, Sean, that we've heard from 8 people this hour, and we need to hear from 52 more people right now. We've got about 4 minutes to go. 813-238-8001.
I'd like to thank Karen Harrigan from Lakeland, who is getting a long-sleeved women's T-shirt and is donating $10 a month at the Circle of Friends membership. So thank you so much for becoming a member of the Circle of Friends.
Great.
She loves this public affairs and loves the 60s show. So thank you for that donation. Now we need to hear from you, 813-238-8001.
And Catherine, who is from Brooksville, she's donated $120, and she's getting the DVD, Roy Cohen, and also she says that she has a long commute and listens all the time. She loves Amy Goodman and wants to keep the program on.
And with those donations, I think we need to hear from 50 more people. We've got a goal that we have to raise between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. of about $5,400. That's what we have to raise. And we're hoping that you'll help us be successful today. Don't turn your back on us. Our phone number is 813-238-8001. You can get the film that we're talking about. Amy Goodman is talking about with the director Matt Turnauer. The film is called Where's My Roy Cohn? And we haven't got to the Donald Trump part yet. I keep waiting for that. And I guess we're going to get to the Donald Trump part eventually. We'll see if we can play more of that interview soon. But we're hoping that you'll make that contribution. It could be a $500 contribution. It could be a $200 contribution. If you're a big fan of public affairs, you know that we carry a show called Alternative Radio, and they feature speeches by people like Jonathan Kozel and Benjamin Hett and Chris Hedges and Caroline Fredrickson and Thomas Frank and Barbara Ehrenreich and Michelle Alexander. Well, we've got speeches by all these people, and I'll give you a selection of 5 of these speeches. I'll have to pick them out
for
you.
What a deal.
Richard Wolff, we've got a couple speeches by Richard Wolff. So we'll give you 5 speeches on CD for a donation of $200 if you call us right now, 813-238-8001. Remember, we're going to need at least one $1,000 contribution either now or in the next hour. That's going to be really important to reach this goal. You can call us. We've got great phone answers back there, 813-238-8001.
If you haven't donated in a while, maybe today is the day. And you know, Rob, nothing makes me smile more than when I'm out in the community and I see someone with a reusable grocery bag, a baseball cap or a t-shirt, something with WMNF on it, even a bumper stickers, any of these things. It just makes me smile and know They are part of our community, part of us, and they appreciate good music and great news. And we have all sorts of thank you gifts that we can talk to you about in the back. Just give us a call. And what's the number again?
It's 813-238-8001. You can also make your contribution online on our secure website, wmnf.org. We need 50 more people to call in. And we're going to take a break for the news right now. The number to call, 813-238-8001. That's the number to call. Sean, we have time to maybe thank one more person.
I'd like to thank Thaddeus Hamlin from Clearwater is getting the Tupelo honey.
All right.
And so thank you so much for that donation. Now we need to hear from you, 813-238-8001.
Well, NOLA is coming along with the Midpoint program. That's coming up next right here on 88.5 FM, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. The fund drive continues, and we still have to raise about $5,000.